Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us on the program. As we come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., we archive this program at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we also stream this program live at richarddugan.com. And you can go to our archives page, the radio show's page, and you can listen to all of the interviews that we've done over the almost 10 years of doing this program. It's it wasn't an accomplishment I was shooting for. My goal was to get this information out to folks as far as what's going on in the world and how people are making a difference in their world and the world of the lot of people around them. And we encourage you to go to the website. We'll also link to our guests' websites. There are two of them, and we'll give that information to you as well as we move forward here in the program. And I will tell you that today's program is rather unique because it's going to be dealing with something that we all are connected with quite personally as well as interpersonally. And it's something we can't do without. However, there's a certain element that either has been added or deleted. And our guest is going to talk to us about that as well as a lot of other areas in this regard. And we encourage you to stay with us as we talk with Dr. Keith Cantor. He is a lot of things. He's the author, CEO. He is a speaker as well as an advocate for healthy living. And, Doctor, I want to welcome you to the program and thank you for joining us on Tell Me Your Story.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I have to say that this is something that is relatively new in the health field, in as much as it is getting airplay from time to time on different programs, but you don't see a lot of this advertised yet. And I know that it's extremely important, and I'll later share with you what we've done in this regard. But there's an aspect to water. And here in California, you know, we've been going through a drought where we haven't had a lot of water for a lot of things, and yet we're still here, we're still thriving, we're still surviving, so apparently we're getting the water from somewhere. Unfortunately, a lot of the water that we're probably getting isn't optimal, if you will. And I would have to say that what you have to talk about in regards to water, I'm going to say that, and correct me if I'm wrong, the closest thing or type of water to what you are talking about here today, in my opinion, would be pure, clear rain water. I have actually had the great privilege of having a pan sitting out in the yard during a heavy storm, and we happen to live up in a rural part of Santa Barbara, and it was full. And I'd heard how good rainwater tasted, so I just grabbed the pan and I put it to my mouth and I drank. And it was incredible. And this rain had been falling for a couple of days, so this wasn't like the early stages. Unbelievable. I was like, and I've heard that, you know, it's ionized because it comes through the atmosphere, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But you are talking about an aspect of water that a lot of people haven't thought about, and that has to do with the alkalinity of water. There's this whole aspect of pH and alkaline, and I want you to help us to understand that, because there are many of us who we're ignorant to these particular elements of human physiology and what will help to make us function better.
Okay, first of all, let me say that this is much healthier than rainwater.
Okay.
Because depending on the air that the water goes through, you know, it could be slightly acidic.
Okay.
But let me explain first. Our body is set up to have a pH of between 7.35 and 7.45. pH stands for potential of hydrogen or power of hydrogen. And we all learned pH in school, but most of us were never taught what pH stood for. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember asking, but that's what pH means. It's potential of hydrogen or power of hydrogen. And the scale goes from 0 to like 14, 7 being neutral. Under 7 is acidic, above 7 is alkaline. So that's one of the things that's important. Because of the way we eat and drink, we take in too much acidic foods and acidic drinks and beverages, especially like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So our body is able to maintain the pH through a buffering system that it has pretty well. It's pretty good at that. But what it can't do is control the amount of acid that comes in there. So it tends to isolate the acid. And that's why we get certain problems. If you have too much acid in your body, even if your pH is in the normal range, it will cause something called acidosis. Acidosis causes inflammation. And I don't mean like a sprained ankle. I mean internal inflammation. Inflammation, the CDC says, adversely affects at least 85% of all chronic diseases, from our insulin mechanism to indirectly substance abuse, which I talk about in my NAME program, which we'll probably talk about later, to heart disease, Crohn's disease, irritable bowel syndrome, arthritis. You could go on and on. So what the water that, by the way, I didn't invent the water,
mm-hmm.
you know, or really discover the water. I discovered, actually through a radio station, the person whose company makes the water. And what it is it's a hydroxide water, which I'll explain in a second, that's actually made from limestone, which is probably the most prevalent rock in the world. Anyhow, what they do is they take the limestone, which is made of calcium, it's calcium hydroxide, and they heat it at a very, very high temperature. I think it's 3,000 degrees. Then they cool it. Then, you know, of course, they filter it to try to get rid of as much of the calcium and anything else as possible. And what you end up with, after doing that numerous times, is a hydroxide water. Hydroxide, and I don't want to be too scientific, but is OH negative. That's hydroxide.
Mm-hmm.
Water is H2O. Most people know that. What most people don't know is that the acidity that we have comes from the hydrogen protons. It's not lactic acid that gives us muscle fatigue. It's the hydrogen protons building up, breaking off of the lactic acid, using that as an example, and it does that for most acids. So what happens is the hydrogen proton, H+, tends to combine with even water to form H3O, which is hydronium, which in our bodies is probably the most acidic substance that you'll find, because everything else will disassociate and the hydrogen will break off. What the hydroxide does, the OH, is it runs around like a little Pac-Man looking for hydrogen protons. And it'll grab the hydrogen protons away from something like lactic acid, or if it's free-floating, and even more commonly from H3O. And when it does that, and it takes one of the H's away, you end up with two H2O molecules. So what the hydroxide does is it combines with the hydrogen proton, which is the acid, and forms water. And then we either utilize it in our body for regular metabolism, or we urinate it or sweat it out. So there's no negative effects. That's why I liked it so much and I made it part of my NAME program, because you're not building up a bunch of alkaline water to buffer it, which is what the normal alkaline waters do. You're using the alkalinity, which is the OH, to combine with the hydrogen proton to form water, which, of course, is neutral. Every time you neutralize an acid, the body produces another acid immediately. But the same time it produces that acid, it'll produce a sodium bicarbonate molecule. And that's the normal, natural buffering system that our body has. So if we help it by eliminating the acid, or of course if we ate the correct way and drank the correct way, we wouldn't have to worry about it. But by doing it this way, we get rid of the extra acid, which stops the acidosis, which stops the inflammation, which is causing a lot of medical problems in the United States and I'm sure the world.
So, and I would venture that many of us have actually fluctuated, if you will, in as far as our diets are concerned, as far as the pH level in our systems.
No.
It's never constant.
That's the thing that fools people.
Okay.
You have the pH, and then you have acid and acidity and alkalinity. They're actually two different things of the same part. The body will almost always keep the pH, like I said at the beginning, between 7.35 and 7.45.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes much off of that, you really get sick and have to go to the hospital. So it's able to do that. What it can't control is if we have too much acid, or if we, for that matter, have too much alkalinity. So in the United States, well, most of the Western world, most people have too much acid. Sugar produces, makes you acidy.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol makes you acidy. And probably those two things cover just about the entire audience.
Mm-hmm.
We all have too much of that. At least sugar or simple carbohydrates, which are turned to sugar, are in everything.
Right.
They're not. It's not always called sugar, but I always tease people that there's more sugar and salt in ketchup than tomatoes, which is really not true. But they're like the second and third ingredients.
Well, I've actually heard it said that they do put sugar in salt. A very small amount, but still, and I'm going, really? And then, yeah, that's, it depends upon the salt you get. Now, we happen to use Himalayan pink salt, or will you sea salt?
Yeah, at least that has a bunch of other nutrients in it, minerals.
Yeah. Now, I've also heard it said, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I've also heard it said, too, that when you have an acid stomach, and it's churning away, that the last thing that you want to do is actually to take an antacid, because it actually does sort of, it seems like it's giving you relief, but it's actually doing just the reverse of what you want it to do. It actually ends up churning up more acid, even if it doesn't, you don't feel it per se, because you've consume this chalky tablet or what have you. I know this is sort of along the same lines here, but is there any truth to that?
Well, I don't want to say that it produces more acid, but if you have an acidy stomach because of eating, that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
That's how we break down our food. If we stop it from breaking down the food, it could cause problems. That's why the directions for the Aqua OH, the hydroxide water, says do it on an empty stomach, do it before you eat, or wait an hour and a half after you eat.
Mm-hmm.
You could still do it while you're eating, but it's not as effective because you're wasting it, because you're supposed to produce acid while you're eating, and then that'll dissipate. But let me give you a good example. Then I wanted to tell you something about salt.
Sure.
The way this really works, and the difference between hydroxide water, and I'm familiar with Aqua OH, that's the purest one, the best one that I was able to find, and alkaline water is alkaline water, which has a pH above 7, they're usually about 9. What that does is it buffers the acid. It doesn't eliminate the acid. So let me just give you a layman's example. You take a bowl of alkaline water, and then you take an eyedropper and you put in a drop of black ink, and the black ink represents the acid. And you put it in a small bowl of water. And what happens is that black ink becomes gray, as it spreads throughout, through osmosis. That's buffering. Then you could put it in a bigger bowl, and it gets a lighter gray, and a bigger bowl, and it gets a lighter gray. But you never got rid of the acid. You just buffered it, indirectly diluted it.
Mm-hmm.
What the hydroxide does is, if you did the same thing, and you put it in a bowl of water, and then you put the ink drop, it comes along with another eyedropper, and it just sucks the acid out of it, so all you have is clear water.
This reminds me of that one powdered laundry detergent they promote that, you see, they put this dye into this thing of white of water, and it just turns it white.
That's right.
So it's the same,
that commercial.
Same visual imagery, if you will. I know that for myself, that we have been using, my wife and I have been using, or consuming, drinking this Aqua OH. And we mix it with, as recommended, with distilled water. And there have been periods when we haven't been able to get the Aqua OH, just haven't been able to order it and get it delivered and so forth. It's not that it hasn't been available. It's definitely available. So there have been periods. And yet we continue. And as a kid, I used to take sips of distilled water that my mother would use actually in her iron. When she would do clothes and she would use the steam so there were no minerals. And it tasted so strange, so funny. Well, now as I'm an adult, it still tastes strange and funny. Then we put the Aqua OH in it. Oh, that tastes normal. But without the Aqua OH, we're still drinking distilled water.
Yes, you should. If you didn't drink anything else, distilled water is still the best because it doesn't have all the different additives to it, because fluorine, which is in most waters, causes all sorts of problems, which we'll talk about later, like with the pineal gland.
Well, I know that this is extremely, extremely important, because if I'm remembering my biology from school, which was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I seem to recall that we're supposedly, what, is it 95% water?
No, it's not that
high. Not that high. Maybe 75, 80%,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, it's about 75% water. Okay. Even our bones are 23% water.
Yeah. And so water is a key factor. There have been scientific studies proving that as the moon affects the oceans and the tides, it also affects the water flow, if you will, and so to speak, the movement in our bodies. You know, we see that, you know, when people are going through different cycles. But I think the one most important thing that I have learned, and I want you to share with us a little bit about this, is this: the potential cyclical nature of the human body. Now, I have gone through phases in my life where a lot of people, they've gotten stuck there. And I tell myself, no, this is just a phase. You know, I've got this inflammation here and here and here and here and here. This is going away. And so I then try to take in the right things to minimize, to reduce the inflammation. I don't mean RX products. I'm talking about, let's say, distilled water or OH. And I also have to tell you that has been a contributing factor to the reduction of inflammation in my joints.
Oh, definitely.
And even drinking the distilled water has helped, because I've noticed when I shift away from even drinking just the distilled water, that the inflammation tends to come back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have inflammation, which, like I said, is caused by too much acid, it affects your joints, it affects Crohn's disease. The CDC did say it adversely affects 85% of all chronic diseases. So keeping the acid down, which, by the way, distilled water will do a little bit, and even alkaline water will do a little bit because it's at least buffering it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not as good as totally eliminating it. And that's what this does. Now, one thing I wanted to mention, just because you brought it up with salt,
mm-hmm.
salt isn't bad for us. Everybody was taught
mm-hmm.
by the government that watch your salt intake, which you should. But it's really not the salt, which is sodium chloride, that's bad for you. It's the ratio of sodium to potassium. So it's supposed to be 5 parts potassium to 1 part sodium in the human body. In America, it tends to be 1-to-1. So therefore, instead of trying to explain the ratios and the potassium and everything to us, they just say, stay away from salt.
Mm-hmm.
But if every time you had a grain of salt, you had 5 grains of potassium, within reason, you could have as much as you want, because that's the ratio that the body needs. But they don't think the American public is intelligent enough to do that and work on that. So they just tell us to stay away from salt. A friend of mine just recently was retaining water, and they were giving him the water pills and stuff. I said, eat some bananas if you can't find a potassium pill.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is. So then he went to his internist, and his internist ordered him a potassium. And he said, what happens if I eat bananas? He goes, well, you'd probably have to have 5-6 a day or maybe even more. But, mm-hmm. yeah, that would work. And, you know, this was an MD that he went to, and he gave him, I think, a prescription for potassium. And I said, just go get the vitamin potassium. You obviously have an imbalance, and that's what it is. So it's the same type of concept. Water is very important for us. We should drink 1/2 our body weight in ounces per day. But because of the way, if you eat a perfect diet and don't drink anything acidic at all, then there's other things that the Aqua OH does, the hydroxide water does, but in theory, you wouldn't have any inflammation, then it doesn't matter, just have distilled water. But since probably less than 1% of the people do that, one of the easiest, most natural ways to get rid of the acid that we built up in the body, besides through menus and diets, which I do, you know, I try to say 70% alkaline, 30% acidic in my name program, is with the Aqua OH, the hydroxide water, because it works. I mean, it's a fact. It's been tested.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will certainly attest to the fact that it has made a significant difference, and some would say, well, how can you be sure that that's the case? Because basically, I've tried a lot of other stuff, and as I said before, I am a firm believer in the cyclical nature of the body, in the fact that the human body, to me, my understanding, at least the way I look at it, the human body is a big old filter. And if you keep putting into the filter a lot of junk that's going to clog the filter up, guess what's going to happen? All kinds of dis-ease and distress and discomfort.
But also, when you have too much acidity, it throws off your gut flora, the bacteria in mm-hmm. our body, and we have way, way more bacteria than we even have cells. If you have too acidic an environment or too much acid, it increases the bad bacteria, which then takes over the good bacteria,
mm-hmm.
and that causes problems, and if it's bad enough, you have to go to the hospital. But that's something else that it helps a lot. If you could get rid of inflammation, it helps a lot with keeping a good balance with the body flora or gut bacteria. You know, and so you wouldn't need as much like a probiotic or prebiotics, which, you know, I take every day. But they wouldn't be as necessary if we ate the right things, exercise, and did all the right things. And it's not that our body is cyclical. It's that we don't do something that we have to until something's bothering us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we always know that inflammation is there, if we have acid and we eat that way, then we never get inflammation. But what we do is sort of like falling off the wagon. We fall off the wagon, then things start bothering us. Then we go back and we fix it. So it's we're cyclical. We're mentally cyclical, not physically cyclical, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. We get programmed to do these things after the fact, once the problems occurred. Now we're doing preventative maintenance from the standpoint of, or curative, if you will, rather than preventative, I should say.
That's right.
It's
we don't have a regular healthcare system in the United States. We have a disease and accident system in the United States.
Maintenance program.
Nobody goes to the doctor. unless they have a disease, I guess a cold,
yeah.
or an accident. They mm-hmm. don't go.
Yeah.
They don't go to the doctor and say, hey, I have a family history of cancer. Could you check this and check this? And could you put me on a special diet and, you know, even supplements, et cetera? Because cancer doesn't grow well in an alkaline diet. It
right.
does much better in an acidic diet. That's why all the oncologists put people on an alkaline diet right away.
Right.
You know, if they have cancer. So we don't do that. We don't go and say, hey, I have a history of diabetes in my family. I don't have it yet, but what should I do? Because doctors don't get paid for that.
Right.
Our system isn't set up for that. So if a doctor prevents you from getting something, he doesn't get any money except for, you know, a nice Christmas card from you. Or holiday card, but that's not how our medical system is set up.
Yeah. Well, I know that for myself, and I'm curious about you. Tell me if I'm crazy on this one, but it I can't remember. And now when I say that, I'm going back 20, maybe 30 or more years. Maybe even it's been since I was in school, grade school or high school. I can't remember the last time I had a flu shot. Now, have I had the flu at any time in that period of 30 or 40 years? Probably. But I'm still alive, aren't I? I'm still here. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Because my firm belief is that I'm going to do what I can to support and encourage and reinforce my immune system to do the job it was designed to do.
That you just said it perfect there. If we allow our body to do its job, it's the best computerized system in the world. Now, unless there is a rare disease or some abnormality with DNA, et cetera, the body will do what it's supposed to. But what we do is we throw so many monkey wrenches at it that we throw it off of off kilter,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word, and then we have to come up with all these Band-Aids to fix the problems that we caused.
Yeah.
But if we ate the way we were supposed to and drank the way we were supposed to and exercised the way we're supposed to, we wouldn't have a health care problem in this country.
You know, I've heard a couple of things I'd like you to respond to before we go to break. One is that red wine, as opposed to white wine, is, by comparison, A, it's better for you because it's good for the heart. But at the same time, taking into consideration what you've already said about alcohol in the human system and the alkaline versus the acidic versus the alkaline conversation. And then the other thing is I saw a piece on a news magazine program a few weeks ago saying that as we've gone back and forth with different foods, this week coffee's good for you, next week coffee's bad for you, the following week it's good for you. And I saw this piece on butter, and it was now saying that butter was actually good for you. What's your feeling about these kinds of things? Is this part of that programming that we actually end up getting short-circuited because they keep going back and forth, so we don't know what to believe and what's good for us?
Okay, so let me answer it the best way I can. And again, some of this is opinion more than fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sugar is not good for us, period. But except for stevia, sugar is healthier than all of the other sugar substitutes except for stevia. The other sugar substitutes cause problems. They increase diabetes. They actually increase weight. So it's the same thing with butter. Dairy, I don't think in general, is good for us. And I stay away from that in the menus that I do because it stimulates the opiate receptors. But if you take a choice of butter versus the butter substitutes, have other things that are more unhealthy than butter. So it's everything in moderation. In terms of the wine, red wine has resveratrol in it, which is supposed to be good for you. And, you know, you could get that as a supplement also. Now, if you have a half a glass or even one glass, you know, every day even or every other day, that's not going to hurt you. But how many people do you know that have a half a glass? And I happen to like white wine better, even though red wine's a little healthier. But How many people do you know that go to a party or go out where drinking is part of the situation or the social situation mm-hmm. and have half a glass?
They don't have half
a
glass.
They have two or three.
Half a bottle, half a keg.
Yeah. So that's what it is. If we did everything in moderation and drank enough water and ate healthy, it's fine. But all the additives and preservatives, as a matter of fact, C. Everett Koop used to be Surgeon General.
Mm-hmm.
He had a goatee. He's a pretty famous Surgeon General.
I remember.
And he said back, I think he passed away, but he was Surgeon General a while ago, at least 10 years ago. And he said that the additives and preservatives and dyes, et cetera, in our food is a bigger cause of cancer, or will be, than smoking. And that was a long time ago. Now, depending on who you ask, it's a question, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying smoking is good by any means whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
but how come they smoke way, way more in Japan than they do here in the United States? I mean, it's like double our rate or more,
mm-hmm.
yet they have a lower cancer rate, including lung cancer.
Wow.
It's not different cigarettes, it's the same cigarette.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they bought some of the U.S. companies, you know, when all those lawsuits took place. It's because of what they eat, you know, mostly fish and, you know, more natural foods, et cetera. So he said it a long time ago. And again, I don't want to imply to anybody that smoking is good. Smoking is not good by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying there's other things that we do
right.
with all the additives and preservatives in our food. You know, whenever there's something and you can't pronounce it on a label, don't buy it.
Exactly. I've often wanted to walk up to a smoker and say, hey, I'd like you to come over to my house. I want you to go up onto my roof, and I want you to inhale the smoke that's coming out of my fireplace. Oh, I would never do that, the smoker would say. Well, then why are you inhaling the smoke from this thing that's got all these chemicals and what have you? Or when there's a wildfire here on the South Coast or in California, let's get downwind of it and just inhale until the cows come home. It doesn't make any sense to me why a smoker would smoke other than and I understand the addiction part. I get that. But it's like, why would you ever start doing that in the first place, other than, of course, peer pressure and those kinds of things? It just,
well, I don't know how old you are. I'm 62.
56.
But when I was little, and I'm talking about like 12 years old, mm-hmm. 11 years old, 10 years old, it was super cool.
Yeah.
You know, to do things like that. And you didn't realize until you're older how foolish it was. And luckily, if you stop for a long enough time, it does clear out and go away. And it's the same thing with drinking, you know, like in college or in New York City where I'm from, you know, we were able to drink way earlier, at least when I was a kid. And we didn't think anything of having, you know, a lot of liquor on, at least for me, on the weekends and stuff like that. And then, of course, hopefully you didn't become an alcoholic, and it's that. But you did things because it was cool. Now they do something, what do they call it, vaping?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I don't care what it is. You're still putting smoke in your body. It may not be nicotine.
Yeah. It's still smoke.
And they have stores all over.
Yeah.
And vaping. What's vaping?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do stuff that hurts us, but there are things that we could do to help with it if you're concerned.
Exactly. Well, as I said before, the human body is a filtration system, is what it is, in a manner of speaking. And again, if you're putting all kinds of that gunk in, and that's all you put in all most of your life, then you're going to have the problems. But as you say, there is a point, sort of they call it the tipping point, if you will, or as Greg Braden would call it, the choice point, where you can say, okay, I'm going to stop doing that, and I'm going to start cleaning out the filter a little at a time. It's going to take some time to cleanse it, to detox it, et cetera, et cetera. And I can get back to optimal health and so forth and so on. But a lot of folks, they never get to that point. And then we see them constantly. My wife happens to work at a local clinic here in Santa Barbara, a rather famous one. And it's amazing.
I know you're probably not allowed to say the name.
Sansom Clinic. And the people I see walking in and out those doors, most of them are elderly, and I'm heading in that direction. And I look at them going, man, okay, I said this 20, 30, 40 years ago as I was watching people when I was growing up in Phoenix. We had like Sun City and Sun City West and all this kind of stuff. I don't want to wind up like that old guy walking down the street who's hunched over with his head bent down, who can't do anything but look at his shoes. You know, it's like, you know, because I think, what kind of weight is that guy carrying? And that's a lot of other stuff that we can talk about as well. But I just learned a long time ago, and I'm trying to share this with people and hopefully younger folks than myself, to say, look, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do to change the world, to make it a better place for everyone. And if we're not healthy, we can't do anything. I have to tell you that until I had the surgery on my right knee, and it was a torn meniscus, once I had that done and the swelling went away, the interesting irony was that within 2 months after that, we got a new puppy who turned into a very large 120-pound black King Shepherd. If I hadn't had that surgery in particular, and I don't know if non-surgical methods would have helped the torn tissue.
No, some things you just have to get surgery. I just had to get my whole back fused.
Yeah, but once that was done, because I told my wife, I says, you know, if I hadn't had that done back in December of 2012, there's no way I could be playing with this dog. No way. And so I'm so glad that I did that. But again, if it's something that can be altered and adjusted and modified and sort of fixed by continually cleaning the filtration system, the filter, if you will, and maybe using the Aqua OH or whatever you find, or maybe just starting to drink distilled water, which, right, you know, it's just, to me, I have no problem with it now. I'm used to it. It's not strange to drink it without the Aqua OH. But I have to say that was one of the most interesting observations of mine the very first time we tried it. Because I knew what distilled water tastes like, and I'm going with the solution, with the mixture, with the distilled water and the Aqua OH. I'm going, this tastes like normal water. You know, it didn't have that metallic-y distilled taste to it.
No, the only thing that it has in it besides regular water and mostly hydroxide is it has a little bit of calcium, 30 milligrams per diluted quart, which is very little.
And again, I'm not here promoting Aqua OH per se, but hey, it's I'm a believer in that respect. And so if you want to check it out, I would do so. You can go to Dr. Keith Cantor, actually drkeithcantor.com. And there is a link. If you'll scroll down on the homepage, you will find a link to this particular product at Optimal Harmony, having to do with alkalinity surpassed and hydroxide water perfected. And you can click on that link.
And for the people that aren't professionals and they want to get it in less than a quart, they could go to, it's somebody else's website, but it's getaqua.com. And there they could order single bottles.
Yeah.
Whereas from the company site, it's really for professionals and business people and medical people,
right.
So you have to order by the case.
And I would encourage people at least to check it out, and that's what we tell people. We put out what we like to consider to be a fairly healthy smorgasbord table and encourage people to take what resonates with them and check it out, investigate it, research it, do whatever you need to do, and you might find that it will be beneficial for you. And if not, then move on to the next item on the list, if you will, and see what works for you. I would like to continue talking with you. We're going to take a break here, Doctor, if you don't mind. And we'll be back in just a couple of moments. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Tell me your story.
Do And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with Dr. Keith Cantor, and we're talking about a lot of issues regarding health and wellness. You know, it's funny, too, because when I first started in this business, I went to work for a religious radio station in Phoenix, and they had a couple of health programs on the station, and I was the producer of those programs. And one of them in particular, I always got a chuckle because we always had a good time. It was an evening program and what have you, and he was chatting away about, again, taking care yourself. And this was a chiropractor. And I remember joking, he was serious, of course, about the health advice that he was giving. But he made a comment about, not eating, not drinking sodas and eating candy bars. You need to eat healthy stuff. And of course, I was big into, and I still enjoy them from time to time, I was big into Snickers bars, which, by the way, I heard the other day is probably one of the healthier candy bars, if you can call a candy bar healthy. Because of some of the things that it has in it.
That's funny.
But I picked up my candy bar and I flashed it to him through the window, and he just said, no, that is not that is not healthy eating. And we had a good laugh at that. But it just seems to me that the information is there. It is absolutely there.
Well, let me give you another great example.
Please.
I just mentioned to you that I hurt my back a while ago, and mm-hmm. I had to get a whole fusion, and it was an 18-hour operation over 2 days, etc. So I had to start working out of the house about 2 years ago. Make a long story short, a good friend of mine, Joe Rodriguez, was opening up 5-star rehabilitation centers. They didn't even open yet. They're just starting. And it's a substance abuse rehabilitation centers just for drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that I had a degree in PhD in nutritional science, so he asked me if I would do the menu or check the menus for him. So I said, yeah, sure. You know, he's a friend. And then I started doing them, and I said, you know what? Why don't you let me do the menus? Because now I had the time for the research. I was stuck at home, some of the time in bed, but, you know, mm-hmm. walking as much as I could. So I researched it more and more and more. Then I, to make sure I wanted to be affiliated, I researched how he was doing it, and he was only doing drugs and alcohol, which was good. He was using the best doctors. He had a great program for follow-up. He had an unbelievable screening program before he let the people in. And he only goes after a very, very specific high-end market segment. And then he uses a lot of real, real high-tech technology. And he uses what I call the name program, except he has a special one called Platinum, since I got the idea from him. But because of that, it was a fluke. Sometimes accidents are the best way to discover things. While I started doing the menus and researching it, I found something, which I should have known way before, but I forgot about, called opiate receptors. And everybody has opiate receptors in their body, hundreds of thousands of cells. And they're just clusters of proteins that, when they get stimulated or bound to by drugs, alcohol, and several other things which I'll mention, they get stimulated and they release chemicals, and these chemicals give us urges. That's where all of our urges come from, all of them except for sex. And on all those commercials that we see and all the food scientists that work for the big food companies, they're taught to stimulate the opiate receptors, even though they may not know they're doing it, so we want more of that food. So as I researched it, I started looking at what stimulates the opiate receptors besides the drugs. Sugar was one of the big ones. Gluten was a big one. Dairy was another big one. Additives, preservatives were big. Of course, nicotine and caffeine, all of those stimulate the opiate receptors. Even if you don't have a drug problem, which is or alcohol problem, which is what I was working on, it gives you urges. So if you have absolutely no problem with drugs and alcohol, it'll make you eat more because it'll usually give you urges for things like sugars and sweets or gluten. If two people have the exact same diet, but one is gluten and one's non-gluten, the person who's eaten the gluten will consume 350 calories a day more. And obesity is a huge problem. We're addicted to sugar in the United States. So as I started researching it and I found this out, I made up menus, you know, not myself really, a whole team, made up menus that had very little sugar, all natural, no gluten, almost no dairy except for a little yogurt, and just regular healthy foods. And if you looked at them, and if they looked at the name program site, they could get a free week of menus, you know, for nothing. Just a little. You couldn't tell that it was for substance abuse. Well, so I started doing that, and I knew I also had to get rid of the inflammation, so I made the menus 70% alkaline and 30% acidic to help with the inflammation, and I was using alkaline water. Then I found out about the Aqua OH, the hydroxide water, and just use that instead of the alkaline water to get rid of the inflammation, because one of the things inflammation does, besides affect all the chronic diseases, is it throws your insulin mechanism off, and it tells your body you either need sugar when you don't, or that you don't need sugar, and it tells all the cells to drop the sugar, and that stimulates the opiate receptors. Well, the problem that the addiction centers have is that even though you don't take drugs or alcohol when you're in a center or going through an intensive outpatient or seeing a therapist of some type, is you don't take the drugs and they test you for that, but you just transfer the addiction to something else. So if you ever go to an AA or an NA meeting, you'll see 90% of the people in there smoking and eating candy bars because they're switching the addiction from the drugs and alcohol to sugar and nicotine. And, of course, they're all drinking lots of coffee. Because what the drugs and alcohol do is they make the neurotransmitter dopamine spike and crash and spike and crash. If you can't get the drugs anymore, or you're not supposed to and you're being watched, or the alcohol, then the body tries to simulate that, and it does it with, you know, the insulin mechanism going up and down, or the sugar highs and lows with the sugar. So because of that, we have an 85% relapse rate on drugs and alcohol in the United States because we only transferred the addiction instead of really eliminating the addiction. So that was the idea of the named program. And then I found out, I was actually asked, I'm on the board of directors of my local NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, that I was able to do the same thing for most of the mental illnesses. If you have anxiety disorder, that means your body it's not producing enough serotonin, which is the thing that gives you the calm mood. It's called the happy neurotransmitter, etc. So I give you foods in the menus that have serotonin in them, like complex carbohydrates and certain proteins, and I make sure I don't give you any foods that have cortisol in it, which blocks the serotonin and melatonin. So I was able to do that for the top 12 mental illnesses, still controlling the inflammation, and it was able to help for even diabetes. But you could do it all naturally, and what I found is that, and I only do it through a medical professional. I don't sell it to the public. So there's no sales pitch on your show here. They have to go through a clinician, counselor, therapist, psychologist, or a psychiatrist. But if they get on the program, what it happens over a period of time is they're able to lower the amount of medicine that they have to take for the mental illness. I gave you the example of anxiety disorder. Depression, which is another big one, is the opposite. We have too much melatonin and serotonin in our body. So I do the opposite. For sex addiction for males, there's 30 million males and females that are sex addicts, and that's from the American Medical Association. Well, if it's a man, make sure you give him menus that don't have testosterone and they have more soy and estrogen type foods in it, and then the opposite for women. So you could do all of this while controlling the inflammation. for a lot of the different diseases, and it gave the therapists and counselors one more tool in their box, because besides that, all they had was talking to the people, which is the most important thing, then medicating them, and in the worst-case scenarios, you know, putting them away. Now this is something else, and so far I'm really close to 100% in over a period of time, 3 to 6 months, that they've been able to lower the amount of medicine that people need for the different mental illnesses. And in the case of the substance abuse, it increases the successful withdrawal rate, and it decreases the relapse rate. And it's just plain science, because the opiate receptors aren't stimulated. So there's a lot of things that you could do by using our bodies and using food and what we're supposed to do naturally that really makes a huge difference.
You know, we talked earlier about the programming, if you will, of a population in terms of our eating habits and our lifestyle, for that matter, and that people are going to do what people are going to do. And it leads me to this question. And I ask this question, and I certainly hope you'll understand where it's coming from. I mean, no disrespect, but why do you give a damn? I mean, you know, let the public screw up their lives and just go their own way. And, you know, why do you care so much that you have devoted your life, quite honestly, to this pursuit?
Well, you know, it's funny you ask that. Up until I started doing the research and really doing this, I worked, you know, for a food company. And, you know, my goal was to make money. When I got hurt and they had to give me the drugs, which I got off of right away, and I knew that was going to happen, really somewhat before that, because I was preparing for it, because it was such a big operation, and I started doing all the research. I said, you know what? I'm 62 years old. Now, I have two kids, you know, 36 and 27. I want my grandkids to say, Pop or Grandpa is the greatest grandpa because he takes me to Disneyland? Or do I want them to say, my Pop's the best Pop in the world because he saves a whole bunch of lives and he helps a lot of people? You know, I hate to sound like Obama, but that I'd rather be known for that than be known for, you know, just spending a bunch of money on the grandkids and getting them a bunch of gifts. And it's a huge problem in the United States, and I'm very patriotic. You know, I was a Marine for 40 years, and that's important to me, because if we're not healthy, and we're one of the least healthy countries, at least modern countries in the world, we're not going to be able to do anything. I don't care how good our technology is. If everybody's obese, you don't have a very good army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I've actually been rather perplexed when I have actually seen over the last few years news stories about police officers and incidents taking place, and you see the physique of the various officers. I'm going, how is it that they're still an officer? Look at the size of this guy. They're not all slim and trim anymore. You know, and I fortunately I haven't seen the same thing with firefighters, because man, you have to be you've got to be fit to do that job. There's no way around it. But you'd think the same thing with police law enforcement, but that's not always the case.
And here's another example. Alzheimer's is getting to be a bigger and bigger problem. You know, we call it dementia, but that's really just a symptom of it.
Right.
You know, but getting forgetful until it becomes to a point where you really can't take care of yourself, and it, you know, it's life-threatening. You know, and with the proper food and proper hydration, that could be so drastically cut that I forgot what the number is, but once you reach about 80, mm-hmm. the percentage of people who have it is astronomical.
Yeah.
Right. No, and they're starting to get it more and more when they're younger. But one of the things that I found while I was doing my research is, do you know what the pineal gland is?
I've heard of it, but I don't recall what it's for.
It's P-I-N-E-A-L. It's a gland we have. It's in the middle of our head, level with our eyes, and it's the size of a grain of rice. That's where all the melatonin is produced in the body. It's called the master gland. There's a lot of mystique about it also, but I don't get into that, you know, like spiritual type of stuff with it. But, you know, it's called the third eye, but it's known as the master gland. It basically indirectly controls the entire endocrine system. The only place serotonin could be converted to melatonin is in the pineal gland. And remember what I said is it's the size of a grain of rice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens to many people, especially as you get older, the pineal gland, one of the reasons, because it's so small, is it gets toxified and calcified. And when that happens, then you're not producing enough melatonin, or possibly any, which is giving you sleep problems, which causes other problems. You're not converting serotonin to melatonin. It affects the serotonin because there's no thing, so it's affecting your moods, and it ends up affecting all the other neurotransmitters. And what they found is that people that have Alzheimer's, a very, very high percentage have a toxified or calcified, you know, it's the same thing, that's how I get, pineal gland. And if it gets cleaned or stays clean, the rate is much lower. So what they found is if you eat all natural foods, stay away from sugar was one of the big things, gluten, dairy products. It was funny. It was by coincidence, it was the same program that I used. But the biggest thing that actually causes the problem is fluorine and fluoride, because it's in our water, it's in our toothpaste, it's in our mouthwash. And the pineal gland, this little teeny gland, has more blood go through it than any other place in the body except for the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And think of it, it's the size of a grain of rice. So
yeah.
Mathematically, that's unbelievable. And it's on the other side of the blood-brain barrier. So, you know, it's easy to get toxified, and the fluorine or fluoride does that. So one of the ways to help detoxify, besides having the natural foods and staying away from the sugars and the glutens and the additives and the preservatives and the dairy, is actually calcium hydroxide. And this is from the government. And what happens is the calcium, even though there's only a little bit in the aqua OH, pulls away the fluorine that's on the pineal gland. And then the hydroxide pulls away the calcium, because it was originally calcium hydroxide anyhow. And between that and a clean diet, it cleans it up. And it helps a lot with it. So it's very good for cleaning and maintaining the pineal gland. But a little thing like that, when all of a sudden you stop the production of melatonin and indirectly serotonin, which will then affect all the and the entire endocrine system, the pituitary gland, the thyroid, etc., that's a big problem. And because it's so small, and most people believe it has gotten smaller over the last, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. It used to be bigger. It's a problem. And again, we could do it naturally. But instead of that, we wait till the problem becomes so severe, and then we try to come up with all these amazing drugs that have other side effects, but that somebody's making big bucks. Because you don't make any big bucks by telling somebody to eat clean and stay away from sugar, do all this stuff, and have a calcium hydroxide water, which is cheaper than regular alkaline water because it comes in concentrate. So you mix 1 ounce with 31 ounces of water. So a doctor doesn't make any money doing that.
Yeah. It's quite extraordinary, the path that our society has gone in, that especially in that regard. And you made reference, of course, to Japan when we were talking about smoking earlier. So I'm curious as to Because this is sort of always, this has troubled me over the years when I hear about from a political and diplomatic context, how we want to export and or spread democracy and the free enterprise system, and yet look at what it has done to us here. Look at our society. And I'm not saying necessarily those are specifically to blame, but we're considered one of one of the world powers, and we're supposed to be technologically advanced, and we're supposed to have the greatest this and that and the other. Look at our population. I mean, you were talking about it earlier. What about the rest of the world?
Money.
What about the rest of the world? How do we compare?
You know, now you're talking about, do you believe in capitalism? And how much do you want to control capitalism?
Mm-hmm.
No, I believe in capitalism. I think it needs a little bit of control, but no, Big Pharma has done a great job, and you can't watch TV for 20 minutes without seeing a commercial for some medicine. And then they have somebody who could talk so quick, and it has such side effects that most of the medicine that they talk about on TV, and they tell you how wonderful it is, you know, I think you grow horns is one of the possible side effects. It's unbelievable. And but we're just inundated. We're taught from the time we're very young that if you don't feel good, you go to the doctor and you get a pill or a shot and then you're better.
Yeah.
And that's what we were taught. We were never taught that you do it before so you don't have to go to the doctor.
Exactly. And there are ways to do that. There really are. It does not
there
take...
There are lots of ways to do it, but if you look at our lobby, it's, you know, a certain size, which is very small, like the Natural Products Association. You know, it's a relatively small one. You look at the lobby of, you know, the Monsantos and the DuPonts and Big Pharma and stuff like that. And what are the politicians going to do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and of course, that's where we come in. That's where we have to do for ourselves the very best we can. And that's why, of course, I'm familiar with a lot of programs and a lot of people who are encouraging people to start their own gardens and collect their own water, even rainwater. There are ways of filtering it and this and that and the other thing.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and maybe taking advantage of some of these things that we mentioned on this program, whether it's Aqua OH or whether it's the NAME program, or whatever, however you want to approach it or attack it, it really comes down to us as individuals. I have to say that you know, in spite of the fact that my heart went out to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who were affected, for example, by Hurricane Katrina, the one thing that I that has never left my mind was the scenes of these people sitting on the rooftops screaming for help. And I'm going, well, wait a minute, what are you doing? What are you doing? You knew this was coming. And, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions, but what are you doing? Because nobody's coming. Nobody can get in to you right now. And yet you're going to sit there and you're going to scream help.
Well, what you're basically saying is God helps those who help themselves.
Well, in a...
And that's true with your body, too.
Yeah.
What we purposely do, sometimes we don't know, but most of the time we know, is we do things that are unhealthy, and we hope it doesn't hurt us.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It
guess
does
what?
Hurt
yes,
us.
Yes, it does.
And you know, and my wife always... kids with me, she says, oh, you had a sip of soda, I saw, or I'm going to put it on the blog, and she'll teases me, or I was at a party one time, and she saw me take a tote of a cigar, and she goes, I'm telling, I'm putting it out. So, you know, so I understand it, and the reason I'm mentioning those things is nobody's perfect, or at least I'm not.
Yeah.
But we do things on purpose to hurt ourselves, and we should have the knowledge to do that. I think that should be taught in school. And I've had arguments with people. I think it's great that they teach health education in school, but it's almost all sex education, which is fine. I think that's important. But you know what? In first grade, I don't think it matters that much. If you're too fat, you can't catch the girl anyhow, so don't worry about it. And I think it's more important to teach them why an apple is healthier than a cupcake, you know, than about sex education. Certain things, I think, in New York, it's I'm pretty sure it's in first grade. You have to read this book about mommy and her special friend. Okay, I have nothing against that. I think that's important for the children to know. But, you know, at least in my opinion, in first grade, the only thing I care about mommy and a special friend is, does that mean I get two presents, you know, for my birthday?
Exactly.
I think at that age, it's more important that they know and that they're trained to eat healthy and why. It's not cool to drink water until you're older.
Yeah.
We have to make it cool and fun to drink water.
Yeah.
Give them rewards, give them certificates, make a big deal
if that's what it takes. Yeah.
When they're eating fruits and they're eating healthy, and we don't do that.
Well, I have to tell you that as a kid growing up, and I've heard a comedian do a wonderful riff on this whole thing. When I was a kid growing up, people weren't walking around with plastic or metal water bottles.
Yep.
You got it from the tap. You got it from, as a kid growing up in the summertime in Phoenix, you got it from the hose, you know, those kinds of things.
In New York City, we got it from the fire hydrants.
You got it from the fire hydrants, exactly. you know, you're absolutely right. And I have to say that, you know, my big bugaboo, as I'm sure a lot of people, has been sodas. And when I was a kid growing up and I was a paper boy delivering newspapers there in Phoenix, I fashioned a cup holder off of the gooseneck of my handlebars on my bicycle. And we're talking about a 64-ounce cup holder, okay? So that I could go into the Circle K, which is what we had then, I'd fill up my 64-ounce thing, and I'd put it in my cup holder with a straw, and boy, I was set to go. I could go collecting, I could deliver newspapers, and there it was. Well, in the last few years, I've worked very hard to wean myself off, and I have to say, like you, I'm not perfect, but I have reduced it. I used to pick up 2-liter bottles of soda almost every day and consume them. And I have to say that my hat literally and figuratively is off to my parents, my mother, who did everything she could as we were growing up to feed us healthfully. She made her own yogurt. She made her own a lot of different things. She actually, now she denies the fact that she used to give us on occasion, sometimes once or twice a week, a spoonful of cod liver oil. Okay? She says that she did not do that. And I'm going, I was the child, and I was there, and I remember. I'm not blaming you. I'm just stating fact here, okay?
So you're lucky, because my parents didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And they fed me, you know, the regular thing, you know.
Yeah.
You had meat at every dinner.
Yeah. Well,
you know, once in a blue moon, fish, but fish was more expensive than meat, and
right.
We were poor, so.
Right. Well,
you ate meat, and most of it ground meat.
Yeah.
Which, in most cases, is the least healthy, unless you get good all-natural.
Right. Well, my father, of course, he actually had some great sayings, if you will. A lot of things that he said that I've held on to in my life, but one in particular I've quoted many times, so I'm grateful for him. He says, "Everything in moderation. Eat, drink, and be merry in moderation, because nobody gets out of this world alive anyway. But at the same time, while you're here, it would be nice to be able to move around. My folks are in there. My dad is 85. My mother's 83, and they're helping to raise their grandniece.
How cool is that?
And we have four generations of our family living today, and these two are still getting out and around. I'm going to say probably 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, my brother, God bless him, was able to take them to China for a trip, and they went. Okay,
great.
So they're in their mid-80s, and they're still going strong.
But they eat healthy, and they
exactly.
stay active.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very grateful to them for passing that on to me, and I'm hoping that I've done at least a fair job of emulating that, and that I have to outlive my great-grandmother. She passed away just past her 100th birthday, and I was telling people when she was we were at her 95th birthday party. And I was telling people that I was going to outlive her, but she was making it really hard.
Yeah, I know.
So she lived to 100. My father's grandmother, my great-grandmother, my father's side, also lived to be 100. So we've got the longevity there. But longevity doesn't do you a hill of beans worth of good if you can't enjoy your life.
That's right. It's what you're able to do, and
exactly.
That's what's happening. We're living longer. Actually, they think this will be the first generation that has a lower life expectancy than the last. But in general, we're living longer, but there's too much wrong with us.
The quality isn't there.
That's right.
The quality,
quality
is
of
not
life
there.
Isn't there. I wouldn't want to live to 95 or 100 if I didn't have quality of life. I'd rather, you know, be healthy up until whatever age I could be healthy to, and then that's it.
I'm with you there. I am absolutely with you there. Dr. Keith Cantor, I would like to thank you, first of all, for joining us here on the program and sharing your insights and for taking so much time. You know, we've gone way over an hour. I've really appreciated it. And if you ever find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to continue this conversation face-to-face in studio. I think, honestly, there's so much. I mean, I wanted to get into the environmental aspects of our health and wellness.
Hey, we could do it again.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
At the prices I charge, I'm pretty easy to get on your radio show.
Well, again, thank you. Before we let you go, I have three final questions that I ask all of my guests. And again, you may
I'm
have
extremely good looking, but I am married for 41 years, so that takes care too. From what was the third one?
You know, I have a dear friend who I trained in radio back in the 80s, back in Phoenix, and he was from New York, and he used to give me a hard time all the time, especially when the D-backs went up against the Yankees in 2001's World Series, and we beat them, and he said it was a fluke, and I said, really? You know, we went up against one of the best teams in baseball, period, and we were able to eke out a World Series. So I'm proud of being able to say that I'm from a World Series town. So I can appreciate what you're saying.
I grew up about 3 miles from Yankee Stadium.
Oh, you lucky dog, you! Oh my goodness, that I love baseball. It's my favorite. I've never played it, but I just absolutely love the game. But anyway, my questions to you at this particular point are, first of all, and you can answer these in any way you want. You may have answered these in some fashion during the interview, but I'd like you to go ahead and sort of codify it up. Who is Keith Cantor?
Okay, Dr. Keith Cantor is a nutritional scientist that's doing everything possible to help people, to help health in general, to help with substance abuse, and help with mental illness through natural means. And I do it because I reached a point in my life where, you know, I don't want to go out and make $10 million. I mean, if it fell into my lap, I wouldn't give it back, but that's not my point. If I help enough people, I never have to think about income. And it's a great feeling when every once in a while somebody comes over to you and says, I just want you to know you really saved my life. There's no better feeling in the world. Mm.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
If we don't fix the health care crisis in this country, of which substance abuse and mental illness are two big parts of it, our country will implode over a period of time because there's no way to do it. And that's one of the things that I want to do. And the only way to really fix the health care crisis, forget about Obamacare. You know, I don't like it anyhow. The government's too big. They're not good at stuff like that. We have to teach the people that the way to fix the health care crisis is to be healthy, not to get better medicines or make the medicine cheaper or make the doctors charge lower rates. We have to prevent the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And although they have a little bit more screenings now in the health care, that's not how our system's set up. There's no gain for the doctor to prevent a disease. So that's what we're doing. If we don't do that, being very patriotic and being a Marine, it won't work if the whole country's sick. Now, our country's getting older and older.
Mm-hmm.
We can't pay for it. And one of the things that's killing us is the medical costs. It takes up 1/6 of every dollar now. And I forgot what they said, by 2040, it'll be 1/4 of every dollar.
Mm.
And we can't survive as a country like that.
Mm.
And so that's a big thing. If I could get enough people to listen, not just to me, but to people like me, and do the things that are right, it would make a drastic difference. If everybody just used a hydroxide water, It would save, I'm not making it up, easy 10% on medical costs throughout the United States. You know how much 10% would be with what we're spending on medical costs? I think our economy's, we're spending about $3 trillion a year.
Wow.
So 10%, just that is, I think, $300 billion.
Yeah, sounds about
you know,
right.
If everybody just drank water the way they were supposed to, it would be close to that number. If we cut down on the different things like that, that's how you fix the healthcare crisis. And if we did that and we didn't spend $3 trillion a year on it, then we could put more money to education, put more money to technology, and we could really be, we are the greatest country in the world, but we could be even better mm-hmm. if we were able to put that money towards infrastructure and better things for the people. And we're wasting it, you know. 50% of all medical costs is spent in the last 5 years of a person's life.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that.
You know, that's absurd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. You said you had three.
And the final, third question is, what is your life's purpose?
Well, Well, you know, family is very important to me. I'm lucky. I'm married for 41 years. I got two great kids. One's married. My daughter's married. My son's getting married next June. I want to have grandkids and be able to play with them. But besides that, I reached a point in my life now where I want to just help people. And I want people to say that, not to me as much, but to my grandkids and my great-grandkids. Hey, you know what your grandfather did?
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to help as many people as I can. It'll help the people. It'll improve lives. It'll help the country. It could literally, and again, not me by myself, obviously, but this movement, so to speak, could literally save the country. Because if we keep on this path, it's financially impossible. The numbers don't work.
Yeah.
We just implode.
Well, Dr. Keith Cantrell, again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, and we encourage people to go to the websites. We have a couple of them for you folks, and the first one, of course, will be the namedprogram.com. N as in Nancy, A, M as in Mary, EDPROGRAM.com. We also have drkeithcantor.com, another website for you to check out as well, drkeithcantor.com. And you can find out more about, of course, the Aqua OH, the alkaline water and so forth, the additive, which again, my wife and I use it, and we miss it when it's not there, but we continue drinking the distilled water. And that, again, is a good suggestion, as you said, Doctor. If you don't have the alkaline additive or alkaline water, just get distilled water, and that's a good place to start.
That's right. It's better than what we're drinking now.
Exactly. Again, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.